Blog Talk Radio.
Brought to you by P4P Muscle Productions and Entertainment, the number one drug-free athlete sponsorship foundation in the world. Following under the teachings, don't trust me, trust my hustle. The ringleader of this show and conductor of this machine is Kalen Lend Me Your Ear Patterson. Sit back, relax, and turn up your volume to P4P Real Talk.
This program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation and opportunity in the world. If you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on and a vehicle to drive your goals, check us out at p4pmuscle.com. And now, let's talk. Hello, Chi-Town and all of the other wonderful people out there. This is Phaedra Chantel, and I'm coming to you from a very patriotic Chicagoland. The traffic is aplenty out there today as I drove home. It's definitely a holiday weekend. People are trying to get home for their fun activities. So be safe wherever you're headed. Tonight we have a guest, which many of you know and have heard. We have Mr. Kalen Patterson on with us tonight. Hi, Kalen. How are you?
How you doing?
I'm fantastic. How are you on the other side of the microphone tonight?
Right? It feels so weird.
I can see you blushing and that big smile where your cheeks are all up in your eyes right now.
Yes, they are.
I don't know. I can hear it.
You know me too well.
I do. And because I do, I felt like it would be a perfect opportunity. You've now been doing the P4P, the Real Talk for a while, and along with your Midwest Muscle things, and you are the one, the face, the body behind a lot of amazing interviews with athletes and competitors, promoters, and company owners. We see you, we see what you do, we see your energy, and I felt that you've just had a pretty amazing accomplishment, especially because you've worked so dang hard. You've just gotten your pro card. Congratulations.
Oh, yeah. Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yes, you're welcome. Yes. So we'll get into that a little bit later. However, we'd like to, like I do with everyone, I'd like to kind of start with the beginning. Like I said, you've been doing a lot as of late, you know, putting yourself out there and meeting and introducing us, as the public to so many different stories. Some that are really hard, some that are just different and fun. And we love hearing all these stories because we can relate to these stories. And meeting you years ago when I did, your energy is wonderful, and you just, but beyond that persona and the person that you are in the public, you're so much more than that. And, you know, I know you've got your close people that know a lot about you, but I'd like to kind of get into how Kalen became the Kalen is now, and how he's working towards the Kalen that he's going to be in the future, because our foundation and the basements of our building is definitely where we all start, right? So,
right, exactly.
I kind of like to start with you. First of all, where did you grow up, and was it a fun, active childhood? Were you more kind of on the study, the book side? Kind of give us a little bit of an idea of where you grew up.
Well, let's see. I started by basically, if you want to call a son of Illinois, that would be me, because we have been moved. My family have been moved around Illinois from the south And I'm talking about DuCoin, Illinois, is where I was born. And then Carbondale, Murfreesboro, Canton, Peoria, Kankakee, Chicago, Moments. I mean, just so many places. So, you know, fitting in always seemed not to be an issue because, heck, you were going to have to do it anyway. And then basically adjusting is something that had to become normal as well because, heck, every time you got settled, you were going somewhere else. And the reason that was is because, my family was split. My mother and my dad separated early. So basically, when you hear me talk about my mother, it's my stepmother that I'm referring. Because, so whenever, you know, we moved, it was either going back to one of them, you know, where, okay, you're going to stay with them for so many years and stay here for so many years. Basically, you know, to make sure there wasn't too much fighting at the top half of it, you know, mom and dad, and not dealing with just out and out fighting for custody. I think that was the issue. I'd never really asked them much about it because, you know, it worked. So, you know, I'm still here, so right. Something worked out right.
Did so now do you have siblings?
Yes. Yes, I do. I have when I say my brothers and sisters, like I said, we're talking about stepbrothers and stepsisters. I have there was a total of 8 of us in the house. So you can imagine it was pretty cracked.
Oh wow.
And I fell toward the middle, so you know, I didn't like it at the time because it seemed like preferential treatment happened at the top or the bottom, but the middle ones pretty much got shuttled along, it seemed like to me.
Right.
But it did do one thing for me, and that was there couldn't be a your side or my side or their side. It simply had to be what was really going on because it didn't. Basically, being in the middle of the family, you don't really have a side. All you're stuck with is what's really happening.
Hey, Kaylin, sorry about that. I was disconnected. So my apologies. I missed that last few seconds. So I'm sorry. I don't know what happened.
Oh, that's fine.
It
happened to me the last few shows.
I don't know what was going on. Yes, but I did hear up to the point where there was no sides. You're in the middle. And...
Mm-hmm.
And so I heard that, and then you finished that. So, okay. So you being moved, and you all shifted. Now, how much of an age difference between the youngest to the oldest? Because that's like huge. Like you, if you being in the middle, that's like an adult. That's with 8 of you. That could be a really large change in age. So there's a lot, you're working with a lot of different personalities there from the start of your life.
Exactly. So, you know, no matter what, you're either seeing it as it is and being picked on for not choosing sides, or you're basically going to whimper down and basically just remain silent. And in that area, I think I was always in conflict with my family because I couldn't remain silent because it didn't make sense. Because to me, if and this is just me, I'm not speaking for anyone else. This is just me. If a lie continues to grow, then you shift everything in the wrong direction. Does that make sense?
Correct. Absolutely.
But I just, that never made sense because then the family would never be happy because basically we're living a lie. And so somebody's mad at somebody and it just gets worse because the lie keeps growing. you know, and it's either you cover it up more and more, or you just open it up to the truth and everybody gets back to being normal again.
Correct. And that's that. So from the beginning, I would say, in my opinion, that you already were, and how old were you when you're, before I say this, how old were you when your family came together, when you acquired all these stepbrothers?
Oh, okay. I was 5 years old when I met, I knew my stepmother because, you know, we'd been going back and forth, but when I actually went to stay to stay, you know, when there was no more disputing
yeah,
over
custody stuff.
Yes, when I was 5 years old, but I had my memory started at a much earlier age, and it was because of something that happened when I was a kid. Nothing traumatic. Well, I guess it would have been, but you know, for me, it was just I didn't fall off a log. I fell onto one. And I fell off a bridge, and it wasn't a big one. It was just a bridge, you know, basically get one of those creeks. But if you're a 2 year old, it's a
but
pretty
when you're
big,
like two, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I fell off and I hit my face on a log. Everybody else probably would have fell in the water, but I actually fell on the log, which is funny. And because of that, the doctor said that it brought cognitive thinking and memory. And he said, so there was a lot of things that, you know, most children forget that mine had been stimulated to remember. And I always thought that was funny because I had no idea what he was saying when he said it. But now I get it because all those things just stick around where everybody else would, and, you know, for some things, they're fortunate enough to forget. And there's a lot of things we all would like to forget, but for me, it just stuck, and it's so funny because
so you gained your superpower through falling off a bridge. Yep, there you go. See, every superhero has a traumatic thing, and yours was falling off a bridge, and it is memory. So how about that?
Yes, we'll go with that. And it's a blessing. I mean, as many times as there, you know, when the bad times happen, you tend to remember every part of it, every facet. But on the blessed side of it, when the good things happen, you can remember every part of that too. So, you know, it's a balance. It's a balance. And you and I both know, you know, there's some people that take advantage of kindness. And you know, you would love to get those times, but you don't. You know, and then, but the blessing is when you get the good people like yourself and all these other great people I know in my life, that's the blessing.
Yeah. Absolutely. So after that, so that was at 3 years old, and then you meet your family. So from the beginning already, you're learning from a very young age to understand and to deal and communicate with all kinds of personalities. Because within those eight people, you have eight completely different people. You have type A's, type B's, you know, bullies and kind people. You've got, like, your whole life worth of people in your family. So, you're able to understand. So we're going to fast forward a little bit. So you're with your family. You're moving around. Did you get into school? Like, let's go through kind of junior high school. Because obviously you're moving around a lot. So when were you guys finally stable and where you could, like, go through your years of school, like, if you even did, to be able to join sports or be in clubs?
Well, now, it's funny because, like, we were threatened to be pulled back, and that's when I was going to Moments, Illinois. And it didn't happen, but we were afraid that it was gonna. So, you know, I'll be the first to tell you, I'm a nerd first, geek, whatever you want to call it. I'm that guy. I mean, I used to joke around.
We all know.
In junior high, I was the fella that would basically help the librarian sort the card catalog, just to make sure that everybody knew how to find the information that I loved reading.
Wow. I am so not surprised by that, because in my head, of course, I see an adult child, Kaylin, but I can totally see you, like, walking around, because that's totally something you would do. That's hilarious.
It is.
That's so
and, and it was funny because, initially, we were country. Just country is all get out. And I loved being able to run out in the fields and just do whatever. And there were some things that used to terrify my dad. You know, we used to play with snakes, poisonous ones, and thank God we never got bit. Snapping turtles. I mean, we were bringing home any and everything. Because I think just being that innocent, that God was just nice to us, where we didn't get bit and mauled and, you know, because we were just out there. In Murfreesboro, it was just straight country. And so all the running around was nice. And so, you know, being active was nothing, because we weren't scared of dirt. We weren't scared of mud. We weren't scared of sweating. None of that mattered, because basically as a kid, all you're doing is having fun. And if it rains, you know, that's all the better, because now you got a new puddle to play in. So, you know, being active has always been there. And it was just, it was funny because, like, how do you fit in with the nerds when you're active? And how do you fit in with the jocks when you want to read? And it's so, you know, it's kind of like I kind of.
Your first conflict.
Yes. And it's like, well, then we'll find a way to make this happen, because I know everybody. Well, I knew everybody. You know what I mean? It's like talking to people was easy, because, you know, when you get moved around, everybody's a stranger. And if you don't get used to talking to strangers, then you're basically not going to talk to anybody. And when I was actually, my aunt was the one, I would always say, gave me the personality, because when I was 14 and I was just going into high school, she realized, you know, this kid's going to suffer, because he's just such a nerd and such a geek. And I was so quiet, because basically if you didn't interact with me, I didn't want to say nothing, because it's like you didn't want to stir up nothing, because it seemed like when people are unsure of themselves, they come at a negative approach sometimes. And if they're not sure about you, you might get the dumping of that negativity when you had nothing to do with any of it. So I would just approach it in silence. But my aunt stopped all of that. And it was so funny how she did it, because it was, you know, for the summer, my dad would basically get a break from the kids. That's the way to say it.
Yeah.
And we would get shipped off to the family members. Well, I was always used to going down to St. Louis, because that meant Six Flags. Yay. And so I love that. And I was really planning on that. And my aunt said, oh, no. Send him up to Chicago. I want to spend time with him. You know, I love my nephew, and I want to see him. And my aunt was really city, really upper class, really high end, I guess. Not high maintenance, but just a real social, real city, I guess, the best way to say it. And
but in not being in a bougie way, but maybe kind of bougie a little bit, but very just like expecting it. Okay.
Yeah, and really just good, which I don't know how she could cook a behind off. And so that was the thing that got me, because that meant plenty of eats. And she, you know, she was in the money, so we were always, you know, like we were always hungry and waiting to eat. She was always feeding where you didn't have to worry about food. So, you know, that's a good sell for me to go up there. I'm like, yeah, I'll go. But it was just me, which was odd, because I was like, you know, where's the rest of us going? Well, all of them got to go to down to Carbondale and St. Louis for Six Flags. So it was like, oh, you know, I'm not around my family. And basically she wanted to give me a personality. Because in her own words, she told me I was just so boring. And I was like, What a thing to say. What a thing to say to me. I was like, you know, and it's like I went back and I really wanted to work on it because, you know, she challenged me. And I said, well, then I won't be boring. Whatever boring is, that's me, so I got to get away from it. Because this is family talking. I knew she loved me. She wasn't saying it to be mean. She wasn't saying it to be, right, you know, to pick on me. She loved me enough to say, you gotta get a personality that people can actually interact with, because basically you're holding yourself from the world, and I know you're better than that. And that just challenged me to no end. And I wanted to be better around my brothers and sisters. I wanted to be better around mom and dad. And that was the summer where I said, I'm going to learn to be a better me. Because, you know, basically, it being in the middle, you're kind of covered because you can't do a lot of wrong. And if you do right, it's not really seen because it's just falling into what everybody else is doing. And if you do wrong, God help you, because you're the one that's not supposed to be doing anything wrong. So,
yeah,
you know, it's just, okay, how do you fit in and be you? Because like you said, we're all unique. So if we're all unique, then what's your part in this? If you love your family, why aren't you interacting with them? And if they matter to you, why aren't you involving yourself in what they like and do? And it just opened up so many windows and doors and portals and rabbit holes. No matter what I did, there was always something that could make them better. And, you know, it's like, if I can do that, then I'm not boring.
That's so true. And what a thought. Now you're like 14, 15, 16 when you're at this thought process.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And
so you
were. It was a lot of. Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
It was a lot of fun because it wasn't even from one summer to Thanksgiving to where, you know, my aunt was just hugging me and hugging me because the change was that great. You know, you're talking about a summer, basically, you know, 3 months, basically out of school. Until it was time to go back.
Mm-hmm.
And then from the end of August until Thanksgiving, because that's when everybody met up at my aunt's house. And she was just so blown away. But, you know, like I was telling her, this is every day I'm accepting that challenge. I didn't sit there and say I can't do it, because if it's somebody that loves you, that believes in you, and says you can do it, you can move a lot harder and a lot faster, and there's not much quit or give up when you know if they love me, why would they say it? And if they say it,
right,
I know they mean it because they love me. And if they're saying it, they're saying it because I can understand it. And if I can understand it, that means I can do it. And so when I put all of those pieces together, it couldn't help but work. And it wasn't even a year, you know, like I said, Thanksgiving, and she was just so happy because she was, you know, like, did he get some kind of medication? I mean, what's going on? You know, why is he so out there? But I wasn't out there. It's just she had taken those shackles and bonds of fear and doubt. And, you know, that's the one thing about being around people in a loving way, is that you don't have shackles and you don't carry them with you to put them on anybody else. You basically...
Right.
You have the key without having a lock. It's like you walk around with a key all the time, but you don't have the lock. It's somebody else has got the lock. You just got the key that fits to unshackle them. And that was her blessing to me, to bless others, because you don't get anything with the idea that it's yours. It's given to you to share. And if you don't share it, then you never really accepted the gift that you had.
Exactly.
And
to be taught that at the age that you were taught that is or whatever age that you're taught that, because people in their late 30s and 40s might be listening to this and hearing that for the first time, and better now than never. But that is quite a lesson to learn at any age, because it's not just what we can do like at this second. It goes above and beyond that. So
yes,
wait for your aunt.
And so, like I said, we had always been active, and honestly, Chicago wasn't ready for me and my brother, because we were just brutally active. And, you know, they used to have block parties in Chicago, and that was like that was the thing. And I used to love the block parties, because they always had these prizes and awards for being active. And I'm thinking, well, we got everything, because who's going to be more active than country folk in a city? You know, you run a block and you're tired. We're running 5-6 miles. We're riding 7 miles. You go play basketball and then ride our bikes home. So that's, you know, that's 14-mile bike ride just to go play basketball, which is running, and then go home on a bicycle, whether you got a twisted ankle, skin up knee. You know, it didn't matter. We were still headed home. So with that kind of activity, and then going into a city environment where it's like the block, thinking if all we got to run is the block, well, who's going to be on my back, or who do I got to carry to make this a challenge?
You are hilarious. So, now, were you on the track team or anything? Speaking of running, did you play any, like, team sports while you were in high school?
Now, we started out and Pop Warner football, my brother and I.
Okay.
My other brother was in the music, and my sisters were in the track and field and basketball. I started out in soccer, believe it or not, because something.
Believe that.
Yeah, my dad really wanted me to get my leg work better, so I was one of the most, and it still am. It's just, you know, you learn better. Uncoordinated. Mm-hmm. Unbalanced individuals. And my dad made me take ballet and soccer so I could get better with my feet, because he used to
Perfect.
Just he said there's no way you could be this bad. But you know, when you live a sheltered existence, you do hide away, and like you know, it's not that they had forgotten us, it's just that you don't stand out. And, you know, it's like, okay, the parent doesn't love you. He did love me. And that's why he had me doing the things I did. But it's just until I had called it to his attention by being so bad at everything that he's like, no, that's not going to happen. So then he put me in that. So basically soccer led to football, but, well, the other football, because, you know, it's football and football. But anyway.
Football Americano.
Something about playing football became the love. You know, as much as all the awards I got in soccer, the love came with football, because, you know, it's just every piece of aggression and everything. And it was so funny, because, like, I remember my dad said, I don't understand why you study so much and why you do so much, and then you can play this violent sport. And I was like, I don't know. I really don't know, but, you know, it's something about it that just appeals to me. But in the high school, because I did study so much and my grades always were so good, I messed around, you know, got a little bit cocky and got a B and a C+. And he said, no, then you're not playing football. You're going to have to play basketball. So then it was track and field, basketball, baseball, basically every other sport but football, which is first love. So, you know, now I'm digging into everything. But then he said something else about summer work, because, you know, I was just one of those people that I was a homebody. You know, it just, if I wasn't playing sports, then I was at home enjoying time with the family, because I do really love my family. So I didn't mind being around him. That was just basically downtime for sports. But I think he misunderstood it as not being active at all. But he gave me an option of either working or playing sports. And I said, well, sports I know, but God forbid I got to work, that's actually doing something.
Right.
he actually fooled me into my illogic. Like, I was so caught up in being a youngster, I didn't think about all of the hours you do put in sports, because you practice more than you play. But I never understood that, because that was just part of the day, you know? It was always just part of the day. Because if you're going year-round, it really doesn't matter what sport. It's just you got to practice to do it. And if you don't give your all in practice, then you don't play. So then you got to give your all. And that's what every year was like.
That's in hearing all this, this story and basically stopping there and everything that you just said in the last few minutes, I see now, and I think that anyone that knows you can see why you train and why you are how you are. Because it's not just like, oh, I'm going to train for this show, or I'm going to train you. It has been, this is what you know, training and beating yourself up and all that. This is easy. It is not, I mean, and I don't mean easy, like, you know, that's
I know what you mean.
Putting it lightly, but it's what you know, and it's what you enjoy, and it takes you, you know, zero to no effort in the sense of getting there to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that is because you've been doing it your whole life. You know, if someone was, and, you know, and I can see where to most of them are like, Kaylin, just go to bed. Like, why are you up at 2 working out? And it's just like, oh, because that's what you do. So
exactly.
Understandably now, this is why that is. So after high school and after all this stuff, now, obviously you did soon have to get into the workforce. So what did you do? I mean, did you go to college? What did you do after this, because we're going to, you know, in this last half of the show, I want to get into this, and we're still a little far back. So I kind of want to fast forward more into, you know, college to 20s,
okay,
30s, and see what brought you into, you know, we know there was something that tragic that happened, and I'm not sure what year that was and how fast forward that is, but, There's been a few things that have happened in the past, you know, 20-something, 30 years since high school. So, you know, you were this kid that was just so into your sports and just so driven. And obviously, without, you know, it's subconsciously, it's instilled in you. You have this, you are just the ultimate competitor. You are always striving to be the best because you've always been that middle ground. It says something about a character as we move forward, because you're always just hidden in the middle. So now when you're playing basketball, you're doing everything to shine and to outshine.
Yes.
So how did that transfer? Now you're out of high school and you're kind of in the real world. So what's going on with this competitive person that you are? Like, where did that bring you into your 20s and 30s?
Well, my uncle had, you know, I was kind of spastic, I guess, where it's like, okay, when you got downtime, you don't know what to do. So he wanted me to find some kind of balance. And so what he did is he introduced me to martial arts. And martial arts was basically my bodybuilding. It was the balance, because it gave me discipline and it gave me a straight line, I guess is the best way to say it. You gave me the straight line. Because, you know, I'm always in sports, so the outlet was always there. But it's like, what gives you the guidance and the balance? And my dad was a big Bruce Lee fan growing up, so it was easy to make that connection. And then, like, when I left high school, I did college and military. So being introduced to martial arts was a big plus, because the military is straight discipline and straight orders. And I mean, everything. And then, you know, cause it's like, it's funny because, like, when I first started in college, I was wondering how everything was going to go, because I was going to have to play basketball and football and still do the military. But with all the activity, it wasn't that bad a strain as I thought it would be, because like, they really challenge you with sleep in the military. You know what I mean? Like, okay, if your thinking is limited, how will you respond? If we push you to your limit, how do you react? And in college, it's just the opposite. We want to challenge your mind. We want you to broaden your understanding of life, not you, but how you interact with the life that you're around. So it was like another one of those challenges, and okay, how do you make balance out of this? Because it's like my dad wanted military, my mom wanted college, and I didn't want to upset either one. So I said, well, I'll do both. Yes. And thankfully, when I started college, it's like basketball and football were just a given. And, in order to keep the scholarship, I had to do both. So that was fine. And then in the military, they had you the rest of the time. You know, so basically, my studies were done on in the barracks, not in the dorm, in the barracks. But the benefit of being in the military is that they feed you. So you're not always pinching pennies to eat. And that's one of the biggest things about college, is you seem like to be always hungry and always rewashed, not washing your clothes when you should. So you know, it's a struggle. But I'm willing to do more. I didn't have to do as much with the struggle part like everybody else is doing. But it does grow you, because it challenges your body. The only thing that really upset me, what frustrated me, is that, you know, people, this is when the drugs are starting to get introduced with everybody, is that everybody felt I needed some kind of help. And I was like, no, you know, I didn't need the heroin. I didn't need the cocaine. And, you know, when they're playing sports, they're like, well, you know, the steroids to help you with that. And I was like, well, that doesn't help me. That's basically getting me through the day. I want to get through life. And so I had a distinct turn off with that lifestyle, because it's like you're telling me I can't do it on my own. And my whole life, it's either my support, my family, and me. So then you're saying, you know, I can't do it. And I just, for me, that was like an insult. You know, if people want to do their life, you go ahead. But for me, it didn't match up. And it wasn't a good mesh. So, you know, it's something, and you know, it is what it is, but it wasn't me. And I want to know part of it. You know, not then, not now. I said, if I can't challenge myself, then I'm not doing it.
Well, that's a huge a huge part of, you know, listening, is from where we start as a child and growth, and then the point of drug or supplementation. It's not just like, you know, anything that's just like, oh, so we're going to try it. This is truly a reflection of everything that you just said up to that point. It adds up. It's like, okay, I see. So, you know, that, you know, is a very strong point as to, you know, where you are now and why you're in the industry and promoting the industry that you're promoting. With the Natural League and the Natural Athletes, because you have worked so hard your whole life, and to you, it's not necessarily, and not to put it down. It's to us, we're all like, oh my gosh, you're so like intense and insane, and you're gonna. But to you, like, this is his life. Like, this is just what I do. So
yes.
Yay for that. That's pretty awesome. So. So when you get out of the military, so what brought you into, which I'm assuming is just because it was a challenge, so you got into bodybuilding, and, well, I don't know which came first, because you were in the military, and I want to reach on one traumatic thing that happened to you, which was later. But mm-hmm. some people don't know about this. But this was something in your life that's pretty important for all of us to know, because we all on a day-to-day basis, like, poor me, this and this, and, you know, my boyfriend broke up with me, my girlfriend broke up with me, like, oh, I'm bloated today. Like, we have all these problems that go on every day, and mm-hmm. real stuff is happening to people. So can you share some of these things that happen to you, where most of us might not come up from this, but once again, because of who you are and your character, why this didn't bring you down. So can you share with us a little bit and when this happened?
Okay, well, I'll start with the first one. And, you know, because basically it's where you get hit incredibly hard and life stops and you got to start over.
Yeah.
And the first time, it was a really bad accident. Some of the guys are drinking and smoking, and I asked to get a ride, and, you know, there was a big accident, and so I got a little bit busted up, and I had to start over. You know, I think it was, my arm was fractured. It wasn't broken, it was fractured, and I had to start over, and that was just one. And then, again, basically, I got so stressed out in life, my heart stopped, and I just fell over. And it was what they call an air bubble or something.
Aneurysm?
No trauma to the brain, but it was something that basically made the heart want to reset. And I was that stressed out.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and and so, once again, I have to start all over again. And then the last one was when this lady drunk driver had run knocked me off a motorcycle and had run me over a couple of times. She backed up over me, and then she ran over me again and just busted me up something terrible. I mean, you name it, it was broken, and if it wasn't broken, it was dislocated, and if it wasn't dislocated, it was punctured. And I mean, blood pressure, 298 over 256. Doctors are waiting for something to pop out, my eyes or, you know, the liver or kidney to burst. Something's going to happen. You're going to die. So basically, let us know what we can know until you pass away, so we can notify your family. The only problem with that is I was John Doe, because I couldn't remember who I was. And after that, you know, it's really not back to square one. You're back to negative 15. Because I went into the hospital I was 280 some odd pounds. Because I wasn't bodybuilding. I was just working out an awful lot and eating an awful a lot more. Because I like to eat, and I wanted to make sure that I wouldn't put myself to stress.
Yeah, you do.
You know? So I got, when I left the hospital, I mean, I was 145 pounds, because I was on a liquid IV drip for 2 months, because you figure with that much trauma to the body, it's not an overnight thing. And then after that, you got the rehab, and they still have to have selective eating, because I had a punctured lung, and they still had to get everything tight enough to where they could go in and get a bone chip, because it was sitting right next to the carotid artery, right next to my heart, and that's what kept puncturing my lung. So I had to start, they had to get all the muscles tight enough to where they could get it to stay in one place, and then they could go in and get it. But because of surgery, guess what? You got to start all over again. And it's like, well, you know, what's the point? You know, you ask that, it's like, well, then what's the point in doing all this if we got to start all over? But it's like, if we don't do it, we can't have the surgery. So, you know, get through it again. And this is back in 09 when it happened, August 09. And I just remember thinking, you know, well, what now? And that's, you know, so bodybuilding wasn't really on the on the map. It was basically just getting back to normal. And, you know, the gym, like when you're a hardcore workout person, people look at you. And there was a lot of people that didn't have my best interest that were watching. And, man, when I went back into the gym at 145 pounds, they were laughing like you couldn't imagine because, you know, look at how he just fell off. Because they didn't know. You know, they didn't. And I wasn't really talking about it. So let them make fun. And I just remember going, because it was so funny. In my mind, I was thinking, I used to have 5 plates on a hammer strength bench. And that's individual arm. You're pushing with 5 plates on each side. And I said, now I'm back in the gym with 5-pound plates on the same machine on each arm. Yeah. And because of, you know, the way my ribs were broken, it felt like an elephant was sitting on my chest. So
I said,
you know, they were laughing and making fun. And that, honestly, that's just a challenge for me. And I was like, well, you know, keep laughing. But I'm going to get better. Because, you know, the doctors already told me, you know, my life is going to suck. You know, I'm going to have a permanent limp. I'm going to have an arm that's not straight, you know. And I was like, well, I don't believe them, so why would I believe these guys with these jokes? And it was just fuel for me. I'll live with it because I know I'm going to get better. Because every time I've been hit with something hard, what's the end result? I'm not giving up.
Okay.
You know, so just keep pushing and keep getting better. But you learn something in that process. As much as you'd like to say, you know, this sucks, there's 50,000 people that can say that same thing about a different situation that you say you don't even know if you can live with. But you've been given one that you can live with because you're living with it. So how do you get through it? Nobody can give you an answer because it's you. The only person that knows the real you is either God or you. And if you can look at yourself honestly and say, this part's going to be hard, this part's not so hard, this part's going to be difficult, but I can do it, and this part I have no idea what I'm doing, so I'm going to have to ask. If you can see all those facets, you know the right people in your life. They're the people you don't deal with on a regular basis because they love you, and they don't have to be stuck up against you all the time. They love you. They support you. And they'll be there. And that's something that I've had. As much as I'd like to say that everything's been, you know, you look at me and my personality, there's always some person attached to that part of my personality. My pastor, my dad, my mom, my aunt. There's no way I can claim anything and say it's me. It's who I am. But to say that was me, I can't say that. Because there's so many people that had a part in that. How could it ever be me? My dad's words challenged me. My pastor's words challenged me. My aunt's words challenged me. My uncles, my cousins, my friends. They always had something that I just heard. And, you know, you don't pick it out. It picks you out. And you're convicted because you said, that's something that's missing in me. And if I can take that and make it better, make it my own, then I'll be a better person. But that gift that you're given improves everyone around you as much as you might hurt, as much as it might be a pain, as much as it might go against what you think you can't get through. If you get through it, you can teach everybody around you exactly how to get through that part because you've been there. And as bad as my life might seem, it's not. I mean, it hurts. God knows. Waking up in that hospital, being busted up like that, it hurt like hell every single day. I mean, they were telling me, look, you can't push the pain killer no more because you're basically dispensed all of it. But after that, what do you do? Then let it take your life? If you're still here, you still got something to do. And that's when bodybuilding started coming in because even that was a challenge because I got into it to help Mike Newman, basically to speak about natural bodybuilding because I realized, I skipped something. I'll go back on it. one of the things the doctors told me when I went into the hospital initially, men my size don't live through accidents of that nature simply because their bones are too brittle. And I said, what do you mean by that? He said, because of the steroid use thins the bone.
I knew it.
Yeah. So he figured, the doctors knew that I wasn't. But, they're so used to seeing guys that size until they do blood work and everything else and then tests and samples and whatever. That was the understanding. This guy's geared up, probably had some kind of roid rage, and got himself hurt. But then, as we're going through the different days, they start seeing, that's nothing like that. So then they tried to explain that is why my body made it through it. I know it wasn't nothing to God, but they don't understand that. They just figured it was because my muscles were so dense and because my bones were so prepared for hard work. But, that's neither here nor there. The thing that really got me is that the harder I pushed, the faster I recovered. And that just blew me away. Because by the time I was, because the lady didn't have any insurance. She didn't have any, so basically I got stuck with the hospital bill. And by the time I was trying to sign up for some kind of aid for the hospital and stuff, the lady said there was nothing they could do to help me because I was already walking. With the amount of injury, they said it should have been years. You don't think about stuff like that because it's you. But when you hear it from someone else, it brings you back to reality because this is something you do every day. They're used to, this is what happens. And that sent me into studying overdrive because I said, why is this so normal to me? Because I've lived it.
Right.
But it's not normal to anybody else because we're taught, that it's okay to be unhealthy. It's okay to eat fast food. And so when Newman asked me to help him introduce the world to natural bodybuilding, I was more than on board because he's preaching to the choir. And then, like I said, I was just a gym rat. And it was somebody that had seen me because basically Mike couldn't make it to a show. So I went. And I had to do the interviews. And they were saying, who is this guy that he can do the interview? What's so special about him? He doesn't know anything about bodybuilding. And I heard it. And I think they wanted me to hear it just so they could be like slighting at me.
Oh, for sure.
And I didn't get upset. I really didn't get upset. I said, I accept that. And I said to myself, not only will I be a bodybuilder, I'll never have to disrespect the stage to step on it where, I'm in bad shape, but because I'm close or I have the money, I'm going to compete. No, I'm going to actually step on stage and be a competitor. And in my heart, I said, I'm going to get the pro card before this guy because he was an amateur just like me. He still is.
Well, look at that. I think it's just, getting into this and now, That was in 2010 when you started working.
2009.
In 2010.
Yeah.
So still 2010 because it's taken some time. So now we're 5 years. So I believe that I think that we met in 2011 or 12.
Yes.
So I didn't realize it was so close. Thank you very much. Thank you. I did not realize that was so close because just like many of the listeners right now, I'm actually hearing a lot of this first time. So thinking back to that time when we did first meet, I never would have thought for a second that you had been through all that so recently to that time. And I right now, just knowing you for these last years and we've talked a lot, and I just appreciate, and that's what I didn't before, because I always appreciated you, but I just appreciate your complete and 100% authenticity and genuineness, if that's even a word, but I'm making it a word now. Your genuineness as a person.
I'll take
because,
it.
All right. Because you truly are. And I think sometimes, you know, we had had this discussion before, you know, we meet individuals in our life for always for a specific reason. Even the most, the smallest 2 minutes of meeting someone or being introduced, there's always a reason for that. And you have brought to my and to mine and I'm assuming many other people's lives such a different outlook because of your path and your journey and who you are and the people in your life and the seeds that you have planted for all of us. And getting started with the interviewing and bringing it now full force into your podcast and the people that you meet and getting your program. Because you have done, I don't know if you know count, I'm sure you've counted, from your first show was when? 2001.
Oh my goodness, I can't even remember. I just Come remember on. How I looked. I just remember how I looked. That was so funny.
I think it was, it was 2011 or 2012, wasn't it?
Yeah, in that area, yes. I haven't
I
been keeping
like track,
honestly. Yes.
Okay. So you've done like 100 shows since then or something like
that? Seems like it.
you're keeping, trying to keep up with Edgestio with all of your shows here, like 10 a year.
Right?
But it's great because, seriously. But it's great because you go in and it's, you know, I think you're one of the people that I know that go into these shows just because you work hard and daily. It's not just like you have your seasons. You go into the show and you're just working hard and you're like, yeah, you know, I'm going to do this show. And every time I listen to you, I'm like, what? You're doing another one? Don't you want to rest? And I'm talking out of my own heart because that's what I do. But you just go into these and every time I've seen you, you just keep changing and looking better and different. And, you know, I always push on you that I'm going to stage mama because you need to take care of yourself. But you are. Like, now listening to all this and knowing you really do take care of yourself and that you are just conditioned to be the way you are. I still think that one day I'm bringing you grapes in the back. I'm going to, like, you're going to be sitting back. People are going to be like, why is Phaedra, like, hand-feeding you? And it's going to be because there's going to be one competition where you're not doing...
Right?
Yes, and that's going to be one of these days soon. Now that you've got your pro card, I think that it would be great to see you go into a show being 100% into your show. And that's coming from someone who loves you and knows you, that you do, you take care of everybody, everyone. And I know how that feels, and I know that that's just who you are. And I appreciate you for that so much. You have, now, tell us a little bit about this last show that you were in that finally, because you do a lot of shows during the course of a year. So what was different about the show, which was the last show that you got your pro card, which show was that?
The NGA Titan Classic, Natural Titan Classic. That's
okay,
Jason Diamond. So, go ahead.
No, it's where? Say that again.
It was the NGA Titan Classic. It's the natural show. One of two natural shows in Iowa, which I was just blown away by that. But it, you know, just what was you? I can tell you right now. Can I just elaborate on that show? Do we have time?
Yeah, we'll make it. Let's do it. We've got a few minutes.
Okay. This show, I had been there 2 years prior, and I placed fourth place. And it was some good competition. And just like it was this year. But, you know, now these guys are coming in just so much better. Natural bodybuilding is growing leaps and bounds. And just watching how everything's improving is just really something. You and I have both talked about this before, where it's just, we're just blown away at how these physiques and bodies are, you know. And I liken that to the coaches, the natural coaches, the natural nutritionists, basically people that know how to take care of their bodies without the enhancements. So they're basically addressing your bodies without the enhancements. And I think that's what's made such a distinct change and so dramatic, where just physiques are just phenomenal now. But anyway, this crowd packed the house. I haven't seen that. And the only other place I've seen it, the only two places I've seen it, is St. Louis at Keith Hunter's show, and he always runs a good show at the IFA, and Fred and Jan Rillette and John and Becky Arnold shows, where they just packed the house. But something else that really got me about this crowd is they were so knowledgeable about everything we were doing. They're calling out the mandates. They were actually engaged in every part of the competition.
That's solid right there. That's great.
I couldn't believe it. And we fed off of them. They fed off of us. And it was just crazy. And I mean, like, I'm sweating bullets, and I don't want to get off stage because the lights at the beginning were hot. Woo, my goodness, God. I mean, I was just drenched in sweat, and it didn't matter because it was just such a vibe going. And you know, you and I both run off that energy, so getting that kind of positive energy was just mind-blowing. And it's like, whenever you lose time in a moment, you know you're enjoying it. And for me, time stopped. So the trip was made for me just off of that moment, because I'm, like you said, I have been to a lot of shows. If I'm not in the show on stage, I'm actually covering as Midwest Muscle. You and I both do that. So when you see that, and just to hear people, like 10, 20 people, number 14, fix your trunks, you're going to mess up. And it's like, these people aren't their family. They're just fans of bodybuilding. But they wanted natural bodybuilding, and that's what they got. And then, you know, I was so glad because they had so many top-notch competitors, they actually got what they paid for. You know, because there was a day when you had first and then everybody else, or second and everybody else, and then, or first through and third, and then everybody else. But it was very rare where you'd have five or six people in one class. And I'm telling you, the novice class in that show, my goodness. I said, whoever comes out of that novice class is going to be the one that wins the whole show. And that's just what happened. The guy that won the overall did come out of that novice class. It was that deep. And I'm talking one through seven, not one through five. And I think there was eight or nine in that group. But it was just a tight group. But anyway, It was just unreal to have that moment. So, like I said, I'm just happy for that. Whenever the promoter, a passionate promoter, puts their heart into a show and they get what they gave, to me, I'm happy because I know the struggle on both sides. Like you said, you know, I'm basically the person that sees the real deal. Jason Kyman puts his heart in there. Brian Austin puts his heart in there, and they really take care of us. And to watch them get the payout of a good show, that's what promoters dream about, you know? And that's how it went down. And so I was really happy for those guys and just happy to be at the show and happy to be competing. I didn't screw up on any of the poses, no wardrobe malfunction. So, you know, I'm happy. I got all the pictures. I already planning who I'm going to interview. Everything.
They look great.
Good.
And, proud of you for that.
Hey, Sam. Thank you so much. As far as the P4P side, I wanted us to win at the Spartans. that didn't happen. You got yours, and I was still happy. And
we know that was a story.
Yes, and we wanted that, mm-hmm. and but anyway, you know, then to go to another show, I'm not looking at the last show. I'm looking at the one I'm doing now, because if you're not focused on what you're doing, you're probably planning on messing up. So
yeah,
everything went well for me. I mean, I didn't get moved much, and when I did, it was basically in comparison, and
yeah,
you know, everything was just feeling real good, and I figured, well, you know, I'm going to be top five at least, because I've timed the food perfect. I'm full. I'm not going in there flat. I'm not, even though I was sweating, I had enough water in me where I wasn't going to cramp up and have to adjust on some of the poses. Everything was just flowing real nice, you know. And then after that, let it fall where it falls, because I know I gave my all. That's the one thing as a competitor I've always wanted to make sure. I can accept loss if I did everything I could to do my best. I can live with that. But I can't live with not giving my all and then getting the result that I deserve, because I'm going to be really hard on myself. So when they're calling out the numbers, and I don't know why, I just couldn't remember my number for nothing. I had it, I guess maybe because I never pinned it on myself. Ryan Austin pinned it on for me, because in the back, I was sticking myself to death. And then Terry put it on the back when Brian put the one on the front. So I never had to look at the number. And it just never connected with the number. So basically, I know everybody else knows their number. So when they move, I just move over in the places. And I'm not hearing my name call. And I'm not hearing my number. And then finally, they run out of places except for first. And that's when everything just stopped. Everything just stopped. Because I said, this is it. You know, and then you start wondering, you know, did you fall asleep? Am I still sleeping backstage? Is this all? You know, because it's like you don't want to believe reality sometimes, because it's that good a feeling. And with the amount of shows, I'm used to close but no cigar, you know. And like I said, I can live with that, because I've looked at some people, and they do deserve that. And the times when I thought I had it, when I got to see the pictures, I'm realizing it's not even close. And so for this one, I was like, you know, just go in there wanting to be your best. And like Joe Perez, you know him, and he even had that on the shirts. My body is my trophy. If I'm coming in better every time, then I've done everything I needed to do. And that's what was happening. I mean, no matter what, I'm bringing a better package when I get on stage. That's what I want. How can I? I was never given the demon of jealousy. I've never given the demon of envy. So those things don't bother me, you know, telling somebody how good they are, honestly, and how great they could be. Those things don't bother me at all. I think that's what humanity is all about. When I can see my self-improvement, that's what matters. I'm doing exactly what a competitor is supposed to do. Every year you're supposed to be better, because that shows respect to the stage. That shows respect to the pioneers, you know, the Ricos, the Kiyoshis, the Clevelands. All these guys set the foundation, and I'm not being disrespectful to all the hard work they put in front of me. I'm willing to give that same kind of effort. That's what it's about to me. So, you know, when you get first place called, that's just a rest area in the journey. And I'm not putting it down for nothing. For nothing.
Definitely.
I love that feeling. Anybody that competes wants to win. But if you say, that's my life, you don't know me. You don't even have a clue. Because me is everybody enjoying that moment. And I had to be reminded that I won. And that was just funny to me, because like when I was doing the interview and the lady was telling me, hey, congratulations on your win too. And it's like, you're right. You know? And that was just, it was just unreal. And I, you know, I've spoken to so many people, and they say, you know, I really don't know what to say. I felt that moment. I felt all that moment, and it's a yeah. great feeling. And there, I said, anybody that's competitive knows that feeling when they win, because it's a finally moment. Finally.
Yeah.
You know, the work has paid off. Everything matched up the way it should have, and I did my best. And the one thing I love about being a natural competitor is that I did it. I don't have to look at any chemical. I don't have to look at any doctor. I don't have to look at any prescription. That was me. Every single moment of hard work, diet, rest, friendship, support, everything lining up. And it was me.
Yeah.
And that just makes it all worthwhile.
That's a pretty amazing outro, I guess you can say, to your story. I mean, from beginning to end, though, something that I find fascinating and very important for everyone to listen to and to think about, you just listened to a story about a man from his three-year-old fall to his one of the biggest accomplishments, or the accomplishments that he's wanted, that you want, that he's wanted to succeed in, and
oh yeah,
I wouldn't say it's the biggest. I wouldn't say it's the biggest. I think it's a fantastic accomplishment, but you know, you coming back to life from being trampled by a car is probably the biggest, I would say.
To be able to walk, to be able to speak.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I was in
that's not even an accomplishment. It's like you had to do it. It just there was no
yeah.
just for you. There was no choice. There was just there was no like can I or won't I? This is just I got to do it. It's no choice at all.
Yeah. Well, see, they put me in ICMU, not ICU, but ICMU. That's the mortuary unit. That means you're going to die.
Oh.
There was 27 of us that were in that unit. When I awakened the next day, there was 12. When I awakened the day after that, there was 7. It was a constant countdown. And I'm waiting on the day when it's going to be me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you have to accept reality. Yeah, that's the whole thing about it. I didn't want it to happen. I'm going to fight as much as I can. But there's not much fight when all you can do is lay in a bed and basically get turned over to be put on a bedpan. But
right.
I said, if I'm here, then I got work to do.
Yeah,
and
absolutely. And you've been doing your work. That's for sure. You've been doing your work.
Yes. But you and I both know life is limited.
It is. No, absolutely, absolutely. I am so grateful for your friendship and for who you are, and I'm so happy that you were able to come and speak with us today. Real quickly, now that you've got this, now do you plan on going straight into a pro show soon? What's the next, like, real quickly, what's the next step for you? We obviously know you're going to be doing interviews and visiting shows, which we will see your face.
I have some more amateur shows lined up for this year. Next year,
okay.
I'll be doing the Chi-Town Showdown amateur. And then sometime after that, I'll be doing pro, because I still got some building to do and some leaning to do. And, it, you know I've won a pro card.
Yeah.
But I don't, I'm not a pro yet. I'm basically pro in standing.
I get it.
When I watch you on stage and work, I realize there's so much more I can do, because your presentation has always been just superhuman. Until people see you in your time on stage, they won't actually understand or get what I'm saying. But, you know, I can do the work. but my presentation has a lot of work to do, I guess the best way to say it. And okay. So, you know, I Leaf, Robbie, Craig, mm-hmm. I want those donuts after the Chi-Town Showdown.
I might join you there.
Yeah, Team Five Star is taking the team trophy next year, and that's the main reason I'm staying in amateur, because I accept that challenge, and I really want that team trophy, because Five Star Fitness has been real good to me, and they've been a blessing, and we've got some team trophies up there, and I've only got one. With the team that we took to the Great Lakes Supernatural, I want some, because you know, Joe Perez is another good promoter that does an awesome job, and it would be nice for the gym that he works out in to actually have a team trophy that's updated.
Yes, for sure, for sure. Well, you will help bring that in for sure. I think that you are going to be fantastic, especially as you just keep on moving on. Now you've got this under your belt, and I get what you're saying. You know, you get the card, but you still feel like it's in training. I completely understand how that feels. So I am looking forward to sharing the stage with you again and again and again, and thank you for coming on today and sharing your story, because I think that this story is a pretty magnificent one, and it's a very important one, and I feel that with everyone that you reach and are able to speak with and hear from them, this just makes you even more special and real. So thank you for coming on and sharing and being who you are. We all appreciate you so much, Cam.
Well, thank you. You know I love you. You guys have always been special to me, and you know, Kimmy, Flex, you know, the monster. I mean, Joe Myers, Anthony Pregnano. I mean, we had a nice group of solid individuals of just real people, and with that kind of support, you know, how could we not improve?
Absolutely.
You know, and you know, thank you. I mean, like, nobody gets anywhere with bad support. They get broken down and they fail. When you get around good people, you should improve, and everybody in that group should improve. And if you look at us, where we started and where we are now, and everybody's in a better life, in a better situation, that's life. That's real. That's people that said, you know, I want to be better, and they got around people that basically helped improve more. Because you know, you know, everybody looks at my posing and say how it looks. And I said, without Kimmy, there is no posing. You know, some of the form and the workouts, without Flex, that doesn't happen. Without Joe Myers, that doesn't. You know, these guys were pros long before I was. And they would still come over. We do Monster Mondays and just knocking out the box. I mean, when you got the enhanced guys watching your routine, because you're getting those kind of changes, you know you're doing something.
Yeah.
You know, the rock star would get out there and do his thing, and he's the rock star. God knows. And just everything is so much better when you're around better people. You know, well, you know, and I know, if you hang on to leeches and psychic leeches and people that drain you in negative energy and betraying folks, they bring you down. And if you, but the thing is, you have to realize you're holding on to them. And that's why it sucks the life out of you, because you're exerting your energy in places it shouldn't go.
Totally.
It's not
I get
you
it.
Don't have
I get
to,
it.
They should be in contact with you.
Uh-huh.
And it's not that you're feeling like you're bigger than them. You're doing better because you made that choice. So, of course, you're supposed to be in a better spot. You're working to be better. If they're trying to be the same and stay in the same area, that's not your fault. And we tend to blame ourselves more than you can ever imagine. And the betrayal happens because we say, I'll do that little bit extra. And as soon as you do that, you're going to get punished for it, as you should. I've been whooped 100 times over. You have too. And
yep.
The core people, are the ones that keep me going. What, you know, how do you get hurt so much and still get up? Because I know the good people. I took a risk on a bad person because I hoped they were the people that wanted to be like me in a good way. They saw the good that happens when, you know, when they see Fader around Kaylin, or they see Kimmy, Flex, Kaylin, and Fader together, see us all laughing and vibing well. And you want to be a part of that. I don't invite anybody in, but you'll put yourself out.
Yeah. Well, it's so true. And then, you know, we're all a lucky group of people. So I absolutely agree with that. And it's, and we have fun. So it's good. Definitely a lot of fun amongst the support and the positivity. So
and
thank you once
was
again.
Like a big step on that.
Yeah, and they are wonderful, absolutely, and giving us a platform to do what we do and to do what we love and to be that positive force. So thank you, P4P, for sponsoring this show. We love it.
Thanks.
We love being a part of it. You have Nancy Andrews coming on Tuesday, and she is the WNBF, correct?
Yes.
She does the, okay, and then you have AC the Black next Thursday, who's Kareem Petway.
Petway,
Petway.
And the Glock got some, he got some good hardware. I'd like to know about that. That was some that was some good winnings right there. He did good on that.
That's amazing. So for now, we are going to bid you adieu. Thank you once again, Kaylin, for sharing your story. And we will see you, or we will listen to you on Tuesday. Have a wonderful 4th of July and be safe, okay, dear?
Hey, you have a wonderful 4th of July, too. Love you.
Love you, too, honey, and we will talk to you soon.
All right.
Thank you for being on the
thank
show,
you.
And thank you for listening. P4P Real Talk. Bye-bye.
Talk to you guys later.